2 Thessalonians in the chapter 3. And our text for this morning is there in verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We now come to the seventh Christian virtue, which Paul describes as the fruit of the Spirit. The word faith, being the seventh part of the fruit of the Spirit, may be rendered faithfulness, and the word means loyalty and fidelity. It is interesting that Paul uses this word when speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit produced by the Holy Ghost in the heart and in the life of the believer. Interesting, because the Galatian believers did not display very much of the fruit of the Spirit, and in particular this virtue, namely faith or faithfulness or loyalty. Would you turn, please, to Galatians chapter 4? For there in Galatians 4, Paul laments the lack of loyalty by the congregation at Galatia. Galatians 4 and verse 16. Paul says, "Am I therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth?" The Galatians had considered Paul their enemy, because, as he indicates here, he had preached the truth unto them. They didn't like what Paul preached, even though it was the truth. Paul says, "Have I become your enemy?" There was a great lack of loyalty. Loyalty to Paul, even though many of those who believed in Galatia had been saved under Paul's ministry, had been built up on their faith through the ministry and the preaching of Paul. But now Paul discovers that great lack of loyalty on their part. Reminded very much of the late Pastor Willie Mullen. Pastor Mullen was a Baptist pastor over in town of Lurgan in Northern Ireland. He had a tremendous ministry. I often sat under his ministry and was thrilled listening to him preach the gospel. He had the largest Bible class in Europe. And yet in his latter years, there were many in his congregation who turned against him. And what hurt him most of all was the fact that many who turned against him were people he had led to Christ. People that he had led to the Lord, his own sons in the faith, had regarded him as their enemy. And here we see the same thing took place in Galatia. But their disloyalty or faithfulness went beyond personalities. For they had demonstrated a great disloyalty to the gospel truth and to the Lord himself. You can understand that when men turn away from a minister who doesn't preach the truth and they go elsewhere to seek food for their souls, you can understand that. But you can understand that when believers turn against the man who teaches them and preaches the truth unto them, that is not disloyalty to the preacher, that's disloyalty to the truth itself. And disloyalty to the Lord. For the Lord has given that man the truth to preach. He's preaching the Lord's word. And it is the Lord who has been offended. Not so much the preacher, but the Lord himself. This is very evident in the opening chapter of Galatians. For there in Galatians chapter 1, we read in verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of Christ unto another gospel. There were those in Galatia who were preaching another gospel. They were not preaching the truth. They were not preaching Christ. They were preaching another gospel, which Paul described, or which Paul says, which is not another, which is not a gospel at all. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And Paul marveled that these believers were so soon led astray by this false message. But though we are an angel, Paul says, from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So Paul doesn't mince his words. If a man come and he preach another gospel which is not the truth and it's not the gospel of Christ, Paul says, let that man be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. As though Paul was saying, in case you missed it the first time, I'm telling you again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. They had rejected Paul, but more importantly and more seriously, they rejected the Lord and his truth. And so when Paul came preaching the truth unto them, they counted Paul an enemy. He had been faithful in preaching the truth, but he was regarded as an enemy. Look at Galatians 3 verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? I tell you, dear child of God, when we refuse to obey the truth, it'll not be too long before we reject the truth altogether. If we don't obey the truth, like these Galatians, then it'll not be too long before we regard the person who preaches the truth as an enemy. That's how it went with the Galatians. Not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Paul had preached the truth, and he had preached Christ, and he had preached a crucified Christ. But they didn't obey the truth. And you notice there also in Galatians 5 and verse 7. Ye did run well. You started off well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? You don't obey the truth, you're not running well. It started out well. that they had been hindered by another gospel, by another message that had been preached by unfaithful men. Notice it was the truth that they were disloyal to. Instead of receiving the truth, they rejected the truth. Instead of rejoicing in the truth, they refused the truth. Instead of obeying the truth, they objected to the truth. No sense of loyalty. No sign of faithfulness. And Paul did well to remind the church what was expected of them. They claim to be believers, and yet where is the fruit of the Spirit in their lives? Where is this faithfulness that is produced in the heart of the Christian by the Spirit of God? Where is this loyalty to the truth? Where is this loyalty to the man who preaches the truth? That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what Paul is dealing with here. The fruit Paul expected to find as evidence that indeed the people were believers, he was disappointed. He didn't find it. But there is one. And dear believer, this morning, there is one and only one who will never disappoint. One who was given the Spirit without measure. One who will never disappoint. One who will never prove to be unfaithful or disloyal. And that one person is Jesus Christ. As the hymn writer has put it, he is not a disappointment. Jesus is far more to me than in all my glowing daydreams I had fancied he could be. And the more I get to know him, the more I find him true. He's true. And the more I long that others should be led to know him too. He's the faithful preacher of the word. He is the faithful and loyal Christ. And all who do know him have found him to be faithful, have found him to be true, and found him to be loyal. I'm sure every one of us this morning who know Christ as Savior, every one of us today who have experienced the new birth, have been washed in the blood of Christ, can testify the Lord Jesus is faithful. The Lord Jesus is true. The Lord Jesus is always loyal. He'll never let us down. He'll never fail us. He's loyal and true. Like every other virtue that make up the fruit of the Spirit, so faith or faithfulness or loyalty is found in everything that Jesus Christ did in everything he said. We can see the faithfulness of Christ in his work. We see the faithfulness of Christ in his work. The Lord Jesus came into the world to carry out a work that he was given to do. He, revealing this to his disciples, said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. I must work the works of him that sent me. Referring to his heavenly Father. And the Lord Jesus, in all the work that he carried out, was faithful and loyal and true to his heavenly Father. We read this morning there in the book of Proverbs about Solomon speaking of the son giving heed to the word of the father. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You read through the book of Proverbs and you read there about sons who did not obey their fathers. Sons who were not loyal or faithful. Well, this son, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the only begotten Son, was always faithful and true and loyal to his heavenly Father. And dear Christian, this is the fruit of the Spirit. You and I are to be faithful and loyal to our Lord and our God and our heavenly Father. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That is what is produced in us by the Spirit of God. Christ was always loyal and faithful and true. You think of it. If the Lord Jesus had not been loyal to his heavenly Father, if he had not been faithful in his work that he came to do, you and I would be of all men most miserable. It is only because the Lord Jesus was faithful and carried out the work the Father gave him to do that you and I are here today. Where would we be today if Christ had not been faithful and carried out the work the Father gave him to do? The Lord is faithful, we read in our text. The Lord is faithful in his practical work. Once again, we remind ourselves that the Lord Jesus went about doing good. There's his practical work. Bringing help and health and hope to the needy. That is what he was sent to do. And he was not disloyal or unfaithful to his heavenly Father. He carried out the work the Father gave him to do in the practical things of his ministry. He came, of course, to die on the cross. But there was work that he did before, that practical work. We read about it in Luke chapter 4. There where the Lord commenced his ministry, we've considered these words in this series. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Lord said in that synagogue in Nazareth, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," reading from Isaiah. "Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he says in verse 21, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And there the Lord speaks about the practical work that he was sent to do. To heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, bringing sight to the blind. Practical work. He went about doing good. Remember, he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me." And he faithfully carried out those duties. And this he did in spite of his trials. You know, there were many who did not appreciate the work the Lord did. They didn't appreciate the practical work that he did. Look there at John chapter 8. Read in John 8. In verse 58, the end of the chapter, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now there's the Lord And he's in the midst of a group of men who do not like him, and indeed they hate him. There they stand with stones in their hands, ready to stone Christ. There you have his trials. Wherever he went, there were those who were ready to stone him. There were those who were ready to put him to death. They did not like him. They hated him. But look at the next verse. Verse 1 of chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he's passing by, he's passing through this crowd, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the Lord, in the course of events, healed the man. That's what he was sent to do. The man was blind from his birth. And the Lord was sent to restore sight to the blind. And here we have the Lord carrying out that work faithfully, dutifully, in spite of those who were around him, ready to stone him. Nothing, you see, believer, was going to stop the Lord or hinder the Lord from carrying out his duty. He was faithful in everything that he did. He didn't look for an excuse. He didn't say, there are people here ready to stone me, I better hurry away. No, rather, when he left that crowd with stones in their hands, he saw a man who was blind from his birth, and he gave that man his sight. That's what he was sent to do. And he performed his duty faithfully. Let us be faithful to the Lord, dear Christian. Let us not look for excuses for not doing something for the Lord. When we're challenged and we're given an opportunity to perform a duty for the Lord, to do something for him that will bring glory and honor to his name, let's not be looking for excuses. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It is seen in Jesus Christ. And he faithfully performed his duty in spite of his trials. And I notice also, in spite of his tiredness. Being bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, the dear Lord Jesus experienced tiredness of body. But this was not used as an excuse by him not to carry out his work. For I find over in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 32. And at even, mark the words, at even. It's at the close of the day. He's been ministering all day. And now it's evening. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought on to him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. Now the Lord didn't say, I've been laboring all day. You need to go away and come back and see me tomorrow, or I'll see you some other time. He has been laboring and toiling all day. It's the close of the day. The sun has set. It's now dark. And brought unto him are all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And verse 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils. He healed many that were sick, and he cast out many devils. Not a few, but many. And it was at the close of the day, And the Savior would have been tired and weary, but he still carried on his work. He's faithful to his heavenly Father. He carried out the work that he was sent to do. To heal the brokenhearted. Restore sight to the blind. The Lord Jesus is that faithful physician. The Lord Jesus is that faithful worker. He is the faithful son to his Father. See, dear Christian, faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. You and I are to be faithful. It's what the Spirit produces in our hearts. Along with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. Faithfulness. He remained faithful even though at times his was a thankless work. It's hard to carry on, isn't it? Doing a work when you're not appreciated. The Lord Jesus performed many works, and there were many who didn't even bother to thank him. 10 lepers came one day. He healed all 10. Only one returned to thank him. And the Lord Jesus said, "Where are the 9? His, in many respects, was a thankless work. But did that stop him? No, we find the Lord Jesus remained just as faithful, just as true, just as loyal to his heavenly Father. He demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness. And dear Christian, you and I will be involved in work for which we feel at times we're not appreciated. Do we give up? No. Because the Spirit of God has given us the spirit of faithfulness. We carry on and we endeavor to be faithful to the Lord. Just as Christ was. Why? Because we're looking forward to that day when we shall stand before the Lord and we shall hear the well done of God. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You see, believer, that's what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for faithfulness amongst his people. And we ought to look forward to that well done of God. For it is given to those and will be given to those who are faithful. The Lord was faithful in his practical work. The Lord was faithful in his preeminent work. We read there in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, something of what the Lord was sent from heaven to do. Namely, preaching deliverance to captives, preaching the gospel to the poor, giving sight to the blind, healing the brokenhearted. There's his practical work, his everyday work, helping others who were in great need. But that wasn't his primary work. The preeminent work that the Lord came to do was to die on the cross for his people. And to that work, the Lord Jesus was faithful. faithful right down to the shedding of the last drop of his blood. The Lord Jesus gave his life on Calvary, came to do a work that no one else could do. A work that the Lord carried out with great dedication, precision, and attention to detail. The Lord Jesus paid attention to detail. There he hung on the cross, and we read that the scripture might be fulfilled. He saith, I thirst. He paid attention to detail. He was diligent and devoted and dedicated to everything that he did. He was faithful to his heavenly Father and the work the Father had sent him to do. And we must say this, that the work that Christ did on Calvary was the greatest work that God ever wrought. God never did a greater work than the work of redemption, the work of salvation. And Christ wrought that work at that place called Calvary. And it was completed because of the faithfulness of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, and we read in verse 17, wherefore in all things it behoved him, mark that word, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. He became man. It behoved him to become man, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. You know that Christ holds three offices. He holds the office of prophet, of priest, and of king. And here Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He's the merciful and faithful high priest. You know something? It's hard to be faithful and merciful at the same time. Like the farmer sent his two sons to market and told them to bring home two pigs, two hogs. Each one was given a pig to bring home. They had to walk it home. One son got the pig home, but the poor old animal was black and blue. The son had beaten it so much. He got it home all right. He was faithful. But the other son didn't arrive home till a number of hours later. And he just let the pig wander where it wanted to along the road. He was merciful. The one son was faithful, the other was merciful. In Jesus Christ you have mercy and faithfulness. He's both merciful and faithful. Such is the high priest that we have. But notice he was faithful in bringing about reconciliation for the sins of his people. The Lord Jesus was faithful. He faithfully searched out his own. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus himself said? that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Came to seek. You recall that day that he told that story about the shepherd who had 100 sheep. 99 were safe, but one had gone astray. And he tells the story how the shepherd went out and searched for that lost sheep. Listen. It says that he sought for that lost sheep until he found it. That was a faithful shepherd. He searched until he found the sheep. He didn't give up. He didn't give in. He was faithful in finding that sheep. That shepherd in that story is Christ. Christ is the good shepherd. And we praise God for our faithful high priest, and we praise God for our faithful shepherd. Because, dear Christian, you and I know, if we're honest today, you and I know how long and for how long we ran from the Lord. We ran from his word and the preaching of the gospel. Didn't want to hear the gospel. Didn't want to sit under the preaching of the word. Didn't want to know anything about the prayers of God's people. But the shepherd kept searching, and the shepherd kept on seeking, until that day he found his lost sheep. Believer, we ought to thank God afresh today for his faithfulness. That he faithfully searched for his lost sheep. He's faithfully searched for you and me until he found us. See, Christ has the spirit of faithfulness. Do we possess that spirit of faithfulness? Are we as faithful as the Lord? What was it Paul said? And behold him. That word behold means to be binding upon. To bind upon. The Lord Jesus was bound. The search for his own sheep. And he was bound in searching for his own sheep to suffer for his own sheep. The Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 24 speaks there about his sufferings. In Luke 24, we read in verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. It behoved Christ to suffer. It was binding on Christ to suffer. None of us like to suffer. If we can at all avoid it, we will avoid suffering. We will run from suffering. And when we're suffering, we've got some pain, we'll take medication to ease the suffering. We will avoid suffering. The Lord Jesus said that it is written that it behoved Christ to suffer. It was binding on Christ to suffer. In other words, the Lord Jesus would not escape the suffering. The Lord Jesus would not try and avoid suffering. The Lord Jesus would be faithful in all of his sufferings. The cruel mockings, the cruel beatings, the cruel scourging, the cruel thorns, the cruel nails, and the cruel cross were all binding on Christ. He must suffer these things, believer, if you and I were to be saved. And Christ was faithful. He was faithful in his sufferings. He suffered all. And what you and I were to suffer because of our sin, Jesus Christ suffered everything on our behalf, so that we do not have to suffer the consequences of our sin. Jesus suffered in our stead. That's the work he was sent to do. And Christ was faithful and true and loyal to his heavenly Father in performing that work. And I'll tell you something else. Christ was faithful and loyal and true to you and me, because he suffered all on our behalf. Every pang and every pain he faithfully endured on our behalf. He avoided nothing. He shrank from nothing. He challenged nothing, but suffered all that his people would never have to suffer. The consequences of sin. He faithfully secured his own, and with this I'll close. He faithfully secured his own. He faithfully searched for his own. He faithfully suffered for his own. And he faithfully secured his own. You see, the Lord will not leave one of his own outside of heaven. They're not the one empty seat in glory. They're not the one empty space in heaven. Every soul for whom Christ died will be in heaven. That's what he went to the cross to do, to secure salvation for his own. John, the Lord said in John 18 and verse 9, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Christ has never lost one of his own. Christ has never lost one of his children. Christ has never lost one of his sons or one of his daughters. Every one of them will be in heaven. He secured our salvation. There were those who tried to prevent him from carrying out the work that he was sent to do. Even one of his own. Peter. When they came to arrest the Lord, Peter took his sword and cut off the right ear of Malchus. And the Lord told Peter to put up his sword. And he told Peter he had a cup that had to be drunk. And Christ drank it all. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee, but thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up. Now blessings draft for me. That's why we chose that verse in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. The Lord is faithful. And believer, the Lord is faithful. and suffering for us. It behold him. It was binding on him to suffer. And suffer he did. No wonder the Father said at his baptism, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Every father would be pleased with their faithful son. Every father would be pleased with a loyal son. Jesus Christ was that faithful and loyal son. For he has the Spirit without measure. And he produced, or what was seen in him was the fruit of the Spirit, including the fruit of faithfulness. Believer, let us endeavor to be faithful also. We'll continue the study, Lord willing, this evening. Let us bow our heads together in prayer. Our dear Lord and gracious Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the faithfulness of our Savior. He was faithful in all the work that he carried out. Nothing was left undone. But rather, before he gave up the ghost, he was able to declare, "It is finished." O Lord, come, and we who are thine, help us to exhibit the spirit of faithfulness. Indeed, the spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit in its entirety. And Lord, for any in the gathering today who are not saved, and they know nothing of Christ and his love, and his joy and his peace, Lord, save them today. Have them, Lord, to come to that place called Calvary, and there bow at that cross where the Savior poured out his life's blood. O gracious God, answer prayer. Write thy holy word upon our hearts. And be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.